I just want to share a little personal story that maybe give you some hope, I guess. I didn't have any traumatic childhood bringing up, coming up or anything. I was a fairly decent kid, got some halfway decent grades, and I came from a really cool family. The fact of the matter is I had this history in my family of addiction with alcohol, and it started on both sides of my family. And as I stepped back and looked at it, I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. It wasn't until age 17 I started to drink, and that quickly became a repetitive type of behavior, and I surrounded myself with people that did the same thing. I didn't stand out as much. It became a lifestyle, became an identity, and eventually it became 7 years of a full-blown addiction with huge emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual ramifications. And in the midst of all of that in college, these guys, I'll never forget these guys. I call them the God Squad. These guys would hunt me down. They lived in my dorm hall. They would hunt me down because they saw what was happening, what I was doing to myself, and all in the name of fun. And all these guys wanted to do is pray with me to accept Jesus Christ. It just made me sick to my stomach. I didn't know what to say. I avoided them. I walked down different hallways. I saw them from a distance. I took a different route. I called them the God Squad. I didn't want anything to do with them. One day they got me in the parking lot and they asked me, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I said, I don't know. Maybe history and church and all that kind of stuff, Bible and all that. I don't really think about that. I kind of blew them off. Forgot about them, went on with my life, or closer to death, I should say. And I came to a place where the consequences, like we talked about in the stages video, the consequences and the ante and the pain and the punishment and the darkness and the void and the enslaved thing we talked about in the first video became so overwhelming. I scratched my head and I said, how in the world did I ever get here? How did I end up here? I never intended to be where I'm at. That wasn't my goal, but nonetheless, I had to admit it happened. So anyway, this guy, long story short, I got some legal issues, and I thought if I go to AA, that'll look better when I go to court. And I sat in this room with all these people that were talking about some similar things I had dealt with, but they were all different ages, like younger, older, old guys, old women. And they would show up every day, and I just figured, I'll keep going. That'll look good to my, my attorney told me to do this. I sat in that room, and I listened to these people, and I go, that's kind of like me. That's sort of like me. Yeah, I can identify with that. Before you know it, I'm doing these steps, and I'm admitting, you're kind of screwed up. You're powerless. What are you doing here, man? Your life is pretty stinking unmanageable. You are insane. They told me this. They said, if you do the same thing over and over and expect a different result, that's insanity. I said, well, I qualify. I'm insane right now. I was engaged to be married. This girl ran off with another guy. It was horrible. It was emotional trauma. That's what it was. And this guy invited me to a Bible study, and I thought, man, I mean, when you quit drinking and you kind of leave your friends behind, I got news for you, dude. You got nothing to do. A Bible study starts to sound pretty good. I went to a Bible study. I didn't have a Bible. I sat in the back of the room. What am I doing? This is crazy. And this dude said, he was reading out of the New Testament, and he said, you can take off your old self like a jacket, he said, and you can put on a new self in Christ. Oh, my gosh. When he said that, it was like someone drove a nail right in my forehead. It was like, boom, wake up. Did you hear that? You can take off your old self like a jacket, put it down, and put on a new self in Christ. And I got to this third of the 12 steps that I talked about in another video. And the third step is to make a decision to turn your life over to the care of God as you understand Him. And I was like, all right, I'll do that. So I'd been going to this church that this very obnoxious religious woman kept inviting my family to. And I ended up being a pastor in that church later. It was amazing. I spent 13 years in ministry there. But I walked up to the altar after the service about this born-again thing, about this making a decision. I actually went to the front of a church on a Sunday night to do a third step so that I could move on in my recovery. And in the middle of it all, I met a guy by the name of Jesus Christ, the very guy I've been running from my whole entire life. And nothing's really been the same since. Not long after that, I had a Bible, and I went to Bible studies, and I started to show up at this guy's house, and we'd have a Domino's pizza. He opened the Bible, and he'd start to talk to me about it, and I'd talk back to him, and it'd be 1 o'clock in the morning, and his wife had gone to bed, and we're still sitting there talking about the Bible, and I said, what is going on with me? What is this? I come home so full of joy, laughing my head off on the way home because I was high. I was literally high without having drank anything or used any drug. I had so much joy. I was trying to figure out, what is this all about? Anyway, 13 years later, I had been in ministry. I traveled around the world. I talked to tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people about Jesus Christ. And this very person I actually avoided my whole life became my best friend. And I've been in ministry almost 2 decades. And we just found out last year, just in online ministry alone, people have listened to teaching or sermons or something from this old drunk, me, this old drunk, in 103 nations and 15 Islamic countries. And I just find it fascinating that God will use anybody, really, anybody, who wants to make themselves available to him. Is there hope in recovery? Are you kidding? I'm a walking, stinking story of one of the biggest losers in my own mind and on earth who did some of the stupidest things that is finding the most incredible fulfillment out of telling people about Jesus Christ and not embarrassed about it, not ashamed of it. I mean, what else would you, that's what you need. If you're addicted, friend, there ain't no getting out of that without this kind of relationship I'm talking about. You can kid yourself all you stink and want to. It ain't happening. If you want freedom, it's found in Christ. Now, I don't know what your attitude toward the church is or the God squad you got in your life or religiosity or the Bible or whatever you see online. I don't care about all that. I'll tell you this straight to your face. If you're an addict, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if you're an addict, you have no liberty. You are enslaved, and you are not in control of your life. The substance or the behavior is in Jesus Christ. I found to be the only way. Come unto me, he said, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It says in Hebrews 12, throw off the weight of the sin that so easily entangles you. That was me, man. So wrapped up and entangled with my own stinking sin, I couldn't move or breathe or even know who I was. So all of these videos, all of Life Points, it really at the end of the day is, do you know Christ? Do you want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection? If you don't, you're going to have difficulty. If you do, you're going to want to know more. And knowing more, not just information, but knowing more of his heart leads to liberty. And I wish you well with that. I want that for you. So anyway, identify your addiction and explore recovery, but a recovery that's rooted in the personal friendship and relationship with one who died that you wouldn't have to be imprisoned by yourself anymore. It's been too long. So let's let it go, but let's cling to him. Therein lies the hope in recovery.